Thank you so much for tuning in to our program, Out and About with Leah and Tim. This is the hour every Tuesday from 9 in the morning until 10, during which we draw your attention to not-for-profit community events being held in the next 2 weeks or so on the Mornington Peninsula or very nearby. Leah Jewell looks after the technical production of the program. She tries to keep me in order and intersperses my chat with pieces of music that she's chosen. My name is Tim Acton. I'm a retired airline manager living in Mount Eliza, and I try very hard to pass on the event information to you in an interesting, helpful, and hopefully entertaining way. So please get comfortable, have some refreshments within reach, and I suggest you arm yourself with pen and paper to take down event details that might interest you. But first of all, may Leah and I wish you, our listeners, your families and friends, a very healthy, enjoyable, rewarding and fulfilling 2018. And special thoughts today to those celebrating birthdays or significant anniversaries today, the 2nd of January. The 2nd of January is the feast day of Basil the Great. I love that name, Basil the Great. Basil was born in 329 AD in Cappadocia, which is now part of Turkey. He became bishop of Caesarea and was known for his care of the poor and underprivileged. And he was one of the very first people to develop religious communal life, in other words, monasteries, hospices, and so on. So that was Basil the Great, his special day today. And on a more frivolous note, the 2nd of January is also National Cream Puff Day in the USA. Could it be anywhere else but the USA? The first cream puff was created in 1540 by the chef of King Henry II of France. And it was made up of baked pastry shells filled with flavoured cream, and in those days in French were called, and still are for that matter, profiteroles. In 1851, the USA discovered cream puffs and liked them so much they named the 2nd of January National Cream Puff Day. Millions of cream puffs are made today in America and distributed within the community, I'm told. So there you are, 2nd of January, important in many ways, but especially for those celebrating special birthdays and so on today. So happy 2nd of January, everybody. And with that, let's have a little bit of music from Leah, and then we'll move on to the events. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you, Tim, and to everybody out there. What a wonderful year it's going to be. 2018, it's an 11-year number, which is a very spiritual number, so let's hope the consciousness of humanity rises a bit. Okay, our first song today is one of my favourite bands that I'm listening to at the moment is Cyril Waves. And this is called Fire That Burns.
Well, there you are. That's a wild piece of music for the start of the new year, entitled Fire That Burns, and it's by Circa Waves. Okay, it's school holidays, and so very important that we find activities and events for the youngsters. So let's start today with something for the very young. And I'm talking about Animal Story Time at Rain, Hain and Shine Farmyard. This farmyard is at 490 Stumpy Gully Road, Balnearing, which you'll find on Melways 163 E5. And from now until the 29th of January, there are a lot of activities at the farmyard for children. It opens at 10 o'clock in the morning, and at 11 o'clock and 3 p.m. there are storytelling sessions. Now, these are not just any stories, they're favourite animal stories, but involve participation by the farm animals and by the children together, which sounds terrific. There are lots of friendly farm animals to pat, feed and cuddle. There are pony and horse rides. There's barbecues, free hay rides, takes me back to my youth. All in all, a fun experience of life on a farm and aimed at young children. And this is all at Rain, Hain and Shine Farmyard in Balnearing every day from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Entry fee for adults, $10. And children's entry fees vary from free to $13, depending on the age of the children and how much they participate. And there's a family price of $40 for two adults and two children. If you want more details of that farmyard experience for little children, 5983-1691. That's 5983-1691. Or you could go on website RHS Farm, all joined together, rhsfarm.com.au. Now, staying on activities for children during their school holidays, of course, there's a huge sand sculpting exhibition on the Frankston foreshore that I've publicised on our last two programmes, and that should definitely not be missed. But also in Frankston, at the Arts Centre in Studio Cube 37 in Davie Street, is an event called Hot Arts for Cool Kids 2018. And it takes place this Thursday, the 4th, Thursday the 11th, and Friday the 12th of January from 10 in the morning until 12:30. Now, basically, this is a very hands-on, interactive program of creative art and crafts for children from the age of about 4 to 12 years old, and an adult member of each family joining them to make up a sort of team. Now, using recycled materials like paper, clay, wood, and so on, the children will be encouraged to let their imaginations run wild to create their own masterpieces. They can do this by constructing, painting, sewing items with a little instruction from trained staff and help from the family member. It all sounds a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's educational. And who knows how many budding geniuses will be uncovered at these events. So that's Cube 37 Studio at Frankston Arts Centre this Thursday and next Thursday and Friday from 10 to 12:30. Participation, $15 per child, which of course covers a lot of the material that's used. Adults are free. And for further details and tickets, I suggest you call 9784-1060. That's 9784-1060 for the Hot Arts for Cool Kids 2018 event. And the third event for children, or in fact adults too, that I want to mention is also at the Frankston Arts Centre, but on the main stage. Presented by the well-regarded PLOS Musical Productions Company is the beautiful show The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid is based on one of that brilliant Danish author's Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales. And it was written in 1837. And it's all about a young mermaid, of course mermaids have tails bearing in mind, who is willing to give up her life in the sea to become a human. Walt Disney produced an animated film of The Little Mermaid in 1989 with music by Alan Menken, and it was extremely popular. In fact, it made, I'm told, $210 million in revenue worldwide. The stage show at Frankston Arts Centre is a beautiful love story for people of all ages. Ariel, that's the young mermaid, wants to pursue her love of the human Prince Eric in his world by trading her mermaid tail for human legs. And she just wants to do this through a bargain, but she bargains with a wicked witch. Unfortunately, the agreement is not what Ariel wanted and what it seemed, and things go wrong for the Little Mermaid. But kids, do not worry. With help from Flounder the fish, Scuttle the seagull, and Sebastian crab, all is well in the end. Look, it's a great mix of an irresistible story, catchy songs, and eye-catching dance numbers. The Little Mermaid is very well worth seeing. It's on tonight. It's on this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Tuesday, the 9th of January, at 7:30 in the evening. So those are evening performances. And it's on tomorrow, this Sunday, and next Wednesday, the 10th, at 1:30 in the afternoon. So you could either go in the evening or afternoon. Tickets for adults, $52. For children, $39. That's for the age of 3 to 16. And that ones below that are free. So to get tickets, and it'd be pretty wise to get a booking because this will be very, very popular, the contact is at the Frankston Arts Centre, 9784-1060. That's 9784-1060 to deal direct to the Arts Centre. Or you could go on website for tickets at factix.frankston.vic.gov.au. That's factix.frankston.vic.gov.au. And that's for Little Mermaid. Should be really special. So you are three events for predominantly for children. And back to you, Leah.
Thank you, Tim. Our next song is People Help the People by Birdie. We've played her before, and this is her from her 2011 visit to Australia that she played in the Sydney Opera House. She's an English musician and songwriter with the most beautiful voice. People Help the People by Birdie.
There you go. People Help People by Birdie, who's one of the favourites of this program, Birdie. Now, on to the programs in that second little group. The first three events we have covered today were mainly of appeal to children of any age from three upwards. So now for a couple of events coming up for whole families, including children and adults, of course. This Sunday, the 7th of January, Mount Martha Yacht Club is holding its public open day from 11:30 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. Now, the Mount Martha Yacht Club was actually formed in January 1963 and started with 67 people joining that year. And they built a clubhouse and a boatyard. It was exactly where it is now. It was constructed on the Mount Martha foreshore of Port Phillip Bay, right opposite Watson Road. And you'll find it on Melways 150C3. In the subsequent 54 years, huge developments have taken place at Mount Martha Yacht Club. Its property, facilities, the boatyard itself, the number of yachts and the styles of the yachts, and its membership, it's all grown and flourished. And it's now a very, very vibrant, progressive club with a high standard of sailing and a great social atmosphere. Well, this open day on Sunday is a very good opportunity for the public, I guess that's us, to visit the club, see all it has to offer to experienced sailors, but also to people of any age who might like to take up the sport of yachting or sailing. Refreshments will be provided, and club members will be there to show you around the facilities and just get a feel of the place. Bookings are not necessary, but if you're not doing anything on this coming Sunday in the middle of the day and want to learn a little bit about sailing as a possible exercise thing for this year, something I've never done and I really should, then head for the Mount Martha Yacht Club. And also for families, particularly those with energy to burn and looking for an event with multi-activities. I'm talking about the Rye Gift Annual Athletics Carnival and Family Fun Day. It's a mouthful, but it's being held on Saturday week, the 13th of January, on the Rye Football Ground. Now, this event has been held annually since 1975 and is recognised as the premier foot running event on the Mornington Peninsula. There are a number of top-level races for serious athletes amongst men and women, some of whom are probably professional, as well as races for representatives of five senior and junior teams of local footy clubs. And there'll be bookmakers up there to take bets on the results of the professional races or the very, very serious races. There's free entertainment for children. There are rides, face painting, kids' craft activities. And as well as that, there are food and market stalls. Now, Rye Football Ground is on the R.J. Rowley Reserve, which you'll find at 19 Melbourne Road, Rye. That's Melways 168D5 for the Rowley Reserve, where you'll find the football ground. The gates open at 10 in the morning. Entry costs are $10 per adult, with students and pensioners $5, and children under 16 free. So that's the Rye Gift, the professional, well, I shouldn't keep saying professional, they won't have to be professional, but they're the top runners, the Rye Gift and Family Fun Day at Rye this Sunday, the 13th of January. Now, if you want more information, if you want to find out how you could compete in the racing, but you need to be fairly reasonable standard, high standard, or just join in some of the fun activities and check details, ring Robin, very charming, Robin, 0414 564-531. Robin at 0414 564 531. She's waiting for your call. And the third event in this grouping for families is completely different, but I think deserves full support for its aims and its initiative. This is an event, is also in Rye, and is called the Seaside Scavenger Festival. It's being held this Sunday, the 7th of January, from 10:30 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. Now, I need to explain this one. There's an organisation called Seaside Scavenge. It operates throughout Australia, and its major mission of that organisation is to inspire and assist local seaside communities to clean up rubbish accumulating on their local beaches, to sort and dispose of litter appropriately, with special emphasis on keeping plastic items from our ocean. So how good is that? Plastic's one of the evils of the world. Here's how the festival at Rye works. Participants, that's volunteers like you and me, go scavenging for litter on the Rye foreshore. And every 10 pieces of litter collected is rewarded by the receipt of a token that can then be used that day to purchase items from a second-hand market in operation in Rye. Clothing, jewellery, books, homeware and so on, all donated by locals. What a brilliant idea. It's a win-win all round, a win for the environment, a win for the people who participate. Everybody wins. This is the third year running the Seaside Festival has been centred around Rye Pier, has been conducted. It involves not only the scavenge hunt, but a full day of festivities, music and entertainment, a trash art competition, talks by marine conservation organisations, and much more. Do you know, last year, over 600 kilograms of rubbish was removed from the Rye beachfront on this day in this festival? Well, I think it's wonderful. So the place to be is Rye Pier, 2389 Point Nepean Road, Rye, this Sunday morning, 10 o'clock to register. You're given some industrial gloves, which you'll need, and a bag, and you set off to collect rubbish along the foreshore. You return it to the sorting station and collect your reward tokens to use at the pre-loved market and have fun too at the festival. How good is that? More details on the website, Seaside Scavenge, that's all one word, seasidescavenge.org. Excellent idea. I'm all for that one. There you go. And over to you, Leah, for some more music, please.
I'm definitely all for that one too. I'm glad we're getting rid of the evil plastic. So our third song today is Fear and Love by Morsheba. So let's choose Love Over Fear, everybody.
There you go. That was Fear and Love, written in 1998, and is certainly lasting well. So you're listening to Out and About with Leah and Tim. The time is 9:37, and this is the program in which we draw your attention to community events on the Mornington Peninsula in the next couple of weeks or so that might interest you. However, out and about in our title can also mean trips away from home. So at this time each week, I give a short, 6 or 7 minute talk about somewhere either overseas or throughout Australia or even just in Victoria and around our home here on the peninsula or Melbourne that you might find enjoyable to visit on holiday. Now, this morning's talk is based on travel, but is very different to normal. We've survived the Christmas festivities, the challenges of New Year's Eve, and now we're into 2018. So time for New Year's resolutions. Now, apparently this tradition goes back to Babylonian and Roman times, when promises were made to the gods to improve one's behavior, pay outstanding debts, and honor the gods. I have to admit that my personal success rate at achieving resolutions for myself each year has been rather pathetic, and usually only lasts a week or two. So today, as this is a travel talk, I thought I might set myself some resolutions involving my travels. First of all, I use my little car to drive from Mount Eliza to local and interstate holiday places quite regularly. And as I get older, and I am getting older, I seem to be getting crankier and crankier with other road users who drive badly or selfishly in my eyes. Those who don't use their indicators when changing lanes, who brake suddenly or hog the fast lanes. This coming year, I resolve to stay calm and not to be prone to suffer road rage, either verbally or mostly verbally inside my car. Secondly, I resolve to find a magic holiday place somewhere in the world where there are no extra charges for single supplements on accommodation. The worst thing about travelling on one's own, like I often do as a bachelor, is that if you don't want to share a bedroom with a complete stranger who might snore, pass wind, or walk in his sleep, you have to pay a lot extra for a single bedroom, and this is totally unfair, I reckon. Thirdly, my normal breakfast at home every day is a plate of muesli or cereal and a banana. But when I go on an organized coach tour or a cruise, and a full buffet breakfast is included in the cost, I always make a total hog of myself. I eat far more than I need and then feel distinctly uncomfortable for the rest of the day. So I'm going to try to control how much I eat at breakfast and other meals when I'm on holiday trips. In fact, particularly on cruise ships, which are almost like eating orgies. Thirdly, or four, I haven't counted, I was born in the UK, and English is therefore my mother tongue. Excuse me. I must admit that when I visit foreign countries on holiday, I make very little effort at all to try to speak a little in the local language. I always speak in English and presume that the local people will understand me. This is not only lazy and presumptive on my part, but it's a bit rude to the people who live in that country. So in future, I'm going to try to speak a little in the language of the foreign country I'm visiting. And on this subject, let me be a bit flippant for a while, because recently I came across a list of signs that travellers had found in some overseas countries where the English language had been slightly misused on the signs. For example, a sign in a cocktail lounge in Norway. Ladies are requested not to have children in the bar. In a restaurant in Nairobi in East Africa, and I was there on holidays, customers who find our waitresses rude ought to see our manager. Sign in a Hong Kong dentist surgery. Teeth extracted by the latest Methodists. Or one I rather like, a paragraph in an Italian holiday hotel brochure that I came across. This hotel is renowned for its peace and solitude. In fact, crowds from all over the world flock here to enjoy its solitude. bit cynical, that one. And finally, my favourite. Sign in an Indian maternity ward. No children allowed. So there you go. I assure you that my attempts to speak in foreign languages will result in much worse faux pas than these. And so I'm not wanting to cause any offence to the countries involved. And my last travel resolution for this year is probably my most important one. I want to see and visit more of the tourist attractions of the lovely city and close environment to Melbourne where we live, in Melbourne and in the nearby state of Victoria. It's a strange thing that most of us who enjoy, got a terrible croaky voice today for New Year, we enjoy travel, spend heaps of time visiting far-off lands, or go interstate to Queensland and Tasmania or so, but we forget places right on our doorstep. To list very few very quickly, because we haven't got a lot of time, and in no set order, in Melbourne, the Johnson Collection in East Melbourne, brilliant. Government House, the State Library, the excellent museum under the Shrine. Outside the city, within easy reach of here, Cranbourne Royal Botanic Gardens, how good are they? The Geelong foreshore, where there have been huge changes for the better. And also, say, the William Ricketts Sanctuary in the Dandenongs and its Aboriginal sculptures. all excellent, and there are many more places. I could name many more, but my number five resolution, to continue to enjoy visitor attractions close to home. There you are. I hope all five travel New Year's resolutions I aim to keep, and I'll report back to you this time next year on how I got on. And for our final three events for particular mention today, this time ones that will be most likely to appeal to adults rather than children. Let's start with an art show. Not anyone, but the Sorrento Art Show. For the 34th time, the Rotary Club of Sorrento is hosting this much anticipated event from this Saturday, the 6th of January, for 1 week until Saturday, the 13th of January. Over 800 oils, watercolors, acrylics, and ink artworks will be on display by local and interstate artists. And all exhibited art will be for sale, with a percentage of profits going through the Rotary Club of Sorrento to community causes. And you know, last year over $95,000 was raised for good causes through this art exhibition. The opening night of the show is this Saturday, starting at 5 p.m. Entry tickets $20 this particular evening. You get sparkling wine and nibbles, entertainment, but most importantly, the first chance to purchase artworks before the public showing on the next 7 days. Now, tickets for the opening night are available from the Flight Center Travel Agency in Sorrento or at the door. But if you can't get to the opening on Saturday evening, the Sorrento Art Show is on daily from Sunday the 7th to Saturday the 13th of January from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Entry fee $5, but guess what? We've been given some complimentary tickets for these daily showings to give to our RPP listeners, especially those to this program, but I'm biased. The first 10 to phone my number, 0418-310-727, after 10 a.m. this morning, will get free passes to go to the Sorrento Art Show, I promise you. So give me a ring, be one of the first 10 to ring, and I'll look after you. Now, importantly, where is the art show on? Well, it's in the Sorrento Community Center on the David McFarlane Reserve, which you'll find in Morse Street, which is just off the center of Sorrento. An event not to be missed. And if you want more details, ring Marilyn, 0414-991-186. Marilyn, 0414-991-186 from Sorrento Rotary Club. The next event I want to mention should appeal to lovers of great theatre in a beautiful outdoor setting. On Sunday the 14th of January, that's Sunday week, Essential Theatre Company, one of Australia's leading touring companies and known for its dynamic Shakespeare productions, will present Twelfth Night as part of its Shakespeare in the Vines series. And the location could not be better. Crittenden Estate in Harrison's Road off Duns Road, Dramana, Melways 160 K6. The gates open on that late afternoon at 4 p.m. The performances begin at 5 p.m. on the rolling lawns overlooking the estate's picturesque lake. Now, you're welcome to bring your own picnic food, although there will be some provided there if you want to purchase it. No BYO grog can be brought because a range of Crittenden's wines will be available. Then you can sit back on comfy chairs or on a rug and enjoy the performance of Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night, Shakespearean story, wonderful, of the anguish of unrequited love mixed with clever comedy and some unforgettable characters. It's very, very entertaining, I promise you. The cost of the ticket for this really special occasion, $50, children under 5 free, must be pre-purchased, and tickets are going very fast. Details and tickets, I suggest you visit website crittendenwines.com.au, that's crittendenwines, all one word, .com.au, or call 5987-3800 and speak to Zoe. 5987-3800 and speak to Zoe, and that's for that really special theatrical experience coming up on the Sunday the 14th of January. Should be wonderful. And our final event to be mentioned today is not an art exhibition or a performance of Shakespeare, but is the 2018 Peninsula Film Festival in Rosebud. Now, this festival is taking place in the township and on the village green of Rosebud from the 9th to the 11th of February. I repeat, February, not January. It's an annual event that attracts huge numbers of people to view up to 20 shortlisted films that have been entered into various categories of competitions with lucrative prizes. Now, I'm aware this Peninsula Film Festival does not start for another 5 weeks or so, and I've only just touched on it today, and I will be giving a much more detailed description of that event on this program in late January. However, I have good reason to mention it today. Attention all filmmakers or budding filmmakers. You're encouraged to submit a short film of up to 8 minutes in length and not more than 2 years old in its production for showing or judging in this competition. It'll be judged by top film industry professionals, prizes awarded, monetary prizes, and your film may well be distributed for public viewing in other parts of Australia too. Now, importantly, the deadline for submitting your film this Friday, this is why I'm talking about it, this Friday, the 5th of January, so you've got to get moving and get onto website Film Freeway, FilmFreeway, FilmFreeway, all one word, .com. I'll tell you more about the Peninsula Film Festival in Rosebud later in January, but that's, you've got to get moving if you're going to show your film. So there you are, the last of our events for today. We're using up time like it's going out of fashion, but we're going well. So we'll hand over to Leah for her, I think it's her last piece of music for today. Thanks, Leah.
It is my last piece of music for today. And I'm going to finish off today with Ed Sheeran, one of our favourite musicians. And this is from The Hobbit, the movie that we all saw, The Desolation of the Smug. It was done in 2013 and got a Grammy Award for it. It is I See Fire.
I See Fire from one of the Hobbit films. Right, we're almost finished, nearly out of time. Just a quick mention about circuses. Leia and I were talking off air about whether we like circuses, and we both agree we like the acrobats, the clowns and the trapeze artists. I'm not mad keen on the very large animals that used to be in circuses. But there's a wonderful circus on now, Silver's Circus, on the Nepean Highway in Mornington, every day from tomorrow till the 28th of January. So anybody, except Mondays, oh, Mondays are days off, they have a rest. But that's worth seeing. I might mention that in another program. Look, we're almost out of time, and I want to finish by seeking your assistance, please, listeners. The success and usefulness of this program relies heavily on Leo and I obtaining information about upcoming events on the peninsula so that we can pass the information on to you. So if you belong to a community group, or organization, or you have family or friends that do, could you please let the person in charge of publicity in that organization know about Out and About with Leia and Tim on RPP so that we can receive and pass on details of individual events that might interest you? Secondly, if you've enjoyed this morning's program, please tune in again at the same time in coming weeks, Tuesdays at 9 in the morning, and also tell your friends too, because we'd love to have a really large audience. If, however, you didn't like this program, its format or its content or the way we perform, perhaps, or have new ideas on how we can improve, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. Contact with us can be made by email admin@3rpp.com.au or by phoning 5975-2650. Oh, and don't forget I've got some free tickets for the art show at Sorrento, 0418 310 727. Oh, and one very last point for today, by way of a disclaimer, I think that's what it's called, so you don't get furious with us. The information passed on today was sourced very recently, but some details might have been changed by event organizers at extremely short notice, and we don't know about it. So please contact the people I've told you about by the phone numbers I've told you about to double check. Happy New Year again to all of you and your families and friends. We hope that the rest of this week in particular and 2018 is going to be a most enjoyable, rewarding and healthy one for all of you. Keep well and please tune in next week. And it's bye from Leah and Tim. Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.